calls on.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Building Savvy Bottom Line. I am Marla Watson, one of your hosts here with my co-host and the host of this show, Steve and Beverly Smyrnas. Hello, Steve and Beverly.
Hello, Marla. It's great to be back here at Wicked Apple Studios. Tell us a little bit more about all the services that you provide here in the studio.
We love having you guys here. Well, Wicked Apple is a wonderful little boutique studio that we've built here in Richardson, Texas, that, you know, it takes a little bit of time to go to many different studios, to go to a podcast studio, to go to a green screen studio. People have to go to different places. So we have built a studio that has all of them. We have our podcast studio, which of course we're in with our guest today. We have our green screen studio, which is we use for our own projects. And then we also have lots of great outside clients. We have a gaming studio. Yes, we actually have a whole gaming side of the company, which is, I think would be a great show to talk about sometime because it's really an interesting part of things. And there's also a lot of building games out there, which we can talk about at another time. And then we have our conference room studio. We do a lot of live streaming here in the studio, but then we have all of the stuff that we do outside production on for live streaming, just kind of making it a boutique service where everybody can come and find that service in one house.
That's really cool. We're really, really glad to be here.
I'm really glad to have y'all here. It's a lot of fun working with you guys, and we've got some really great guests today. Today, joining us is Chris Black of Blackline Renovations, Jennifer Wiley of J. Wiley Designs, and Jen Schultz, the Executive Director of NARI North Texas. And if you don't know what NARI is, it's the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. Welcome to all three of you. I'm going to start with Jen, and actually, I'm going to segue to Beverly. Beverly's got so many great questions.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about how you got into the remodeling industry specifically. Chris and Jennifer have different last names, but they are husband and wife. And Chris has been in remodeling for a long, long time. Jennifer is an interior designer. And now as a husband and wife, they've combined their fantastic talent. And they actually met at a NARI meeting. So we'll let Jen tell you more about NARI North Texas later. But I wanted to start by asking them, you know, in the situation that we find the industry in now, there's a big labor shortage. Last statistic I read is Texas is down over 42,000 in building industry jobs. We're short. We have jobs that could be filled by 42,000 people in the industry. And North Texas still has 10,000 fewer people employed in construction since before COVID-19. So we already had a labor shortage that's a national problem. There's a lot being done with high school trade programs and various college programs to try to solve this and make sure we have workers employed to build homes, in our interest, to build homes and supply needed products and services over the next few decades. So, Chris, you said you got started in the construction industry by working in construction during high school and then went to Clemson, which has what sounds like a really incredible construction management program. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so in high school, just as a buddy of mine, you know, we had worked in restaurant industry, busing tables for a while, and found that not to be too interesting. So the next summer, we found a construction job, and I thought that was very liberating and allowed me to do a lot more fun stuff. But by the time I got to college, I didn't really know what I wanted to study. But a fraternity brother kind of turned me on to what the construction management degree was. I didn't even know about it. And then that was it. I was hooked the minute I learned all about it.
You had said you had described the curriculum. I know one of the things you said is you had a project that you worked on, or I guess it was a made up project model that you worked on and worked through various issues as part of your classes.
Yeah. So, you know, they had the core classes, which were structures, which is engineering for static, immovable objects of bridges, roads, stuff like that, for concrete formwork. And then we had HVAC classes, soils classes, all the smaller classes. But the capstone course, or what they called the capstone course, was senior year, you had to create your own company. and you had to name it, you had to market it, you had to, and we followed a real life construction project. We did all the bidding for it. We did all the subcontractor hiring, and we developed all the literature that a company would need to do if they were real. So it was very, very educational for us to handle a project in a company from start to finish, which is essentially what I've done.
That's incredible, because I know like a lot of people that get into the building industry might be good at hammers and nails, but not know the business side of it. And the business side of it is so essential to know. Jennifer, you said that you took an interior design elective at good old Midland Lee High School.
That's correct.
And that got you interested in attending University of North Texas's interior design program. So tell us about that experience. And then later, how you got into specifically working with construction.
So you are correct. I took an interior design class as an elective my junior year of high school, and I absolutely fell in love with it. It was still very elementary, of course, but I decided that I wanted to major in interior design, and I knew I wanted to come to Dallas because of the wonderful design market here. So I transferred up to UNT and studied interior design and home furnishings and graduated, immediately got a job with a high-end design firm, and that's where I actually fell in love with construction. We did everything from new construction to remodels to furniture, but it was standing on the job site with the contractors and looking at the guts of someone's home that I truly fell in love with the intricacies of construction.
Cool. And I think you said you also refinished a yacht, too.
I had the opportunity to work on a yacht up in Seattle for one of our clients, and that was definitely a first for a little West Texas girl. So, but that was a lot of fun, and that taught me a lot about door hardware. I had no idea what I was getting into when I had to research all of that.
And what is it like working with your husband? I know Beverly and I have been working together for over 25 years and married, work in the same industry and working together. Tell us about that.
It's a lot of fun. We do not share a business, but we do share projects together. So it's been fun. We just celebrated our 6th anniversary. So
congratulations.
We're still getting used to being married and working together. but no, it's been great. The trust there is fantastic. I already knew of his company as a solid company in our industry, and I think I'm speaking for him, but I think he would say the same about my company. So when we introduce each other to clients or other industry peers, we feel very good about referring each other.
Yeah, she helped fill in the missing piece that we didn't have, was the element of the finer design, the better, that little bit better design. We were having our clients make all the selections. They were going through and picking all the colors, the finishes, the fixtures, and all the projects seemed to be watered down a little bit. And then once Jennifer and I started working together, she started bringing elements of really cool design and just kind of making clients kind of get out of their comfort zone and do things that excited them, but they were too afraid to do if they didn't have Jennifer pushing them.
I do a lot of gentle nudging out of that box.
So it's important for a contractor to have a field of specialty, and you chose renovation and remodeling and restoration as well. Can you speak to what led you to choose that specifically?
It's funny. When I first met Jennifer back in 2004, I think it was, we had started a separate company to build new homes, to build spec homes. And while I was trying to handle the remodeling side of it, and it was just me, and it became overwhelming. But anyway, Jennifer and I were working together on a new home that I had built, and I found that I didn't really like doing the new construction because you're essentially designing for nobody and you're not working for anybody. You're not establishing relationships. It's a very sterile environment, but working with customers, you're providing a service, you're working with the feelings and the emotion with the client. And I just preferred that better. Our systems and our whole company is built towards managing the clients, not managing the project as much as the client.
Correct. And I know you have a very firm belief in the design build. That's the way you do it. You specialize in that. And tell us about that process.
Yeah. So initially when I got started, we were just bidding off a drawing, just like I'm sure everyone gets started. But you start to realize that you get hurt by bad design. Mm-hmm. We had a project where the client was upset at us for a design that they brought to us that couldn't be built the way it was. And so I said, this is never going to happen again. And so I started bringing in outside help for the designer. Now, I don't have design in-house. That is a just not a good fit. It's just something that we chose to work with outside architects and designers like Jennifer. And it just helps us be more flexible. But once we started maintaining control of the drawings, the projects ended up much better and the clients were much happier.
I've known Chris for quite a while here at the networking events with Adnari, and I've always seen him be very personable. So I could see him wanting to be with people during the process and not just building a generic spec home where you're not designing for anyone. And also, I noticed he's always smiling. He's very happy with what he does, and the subcontractors and suppliers that talk to him seem to be very pleased with what he does, and I think that's really important. So I think his relationships. That he builds with them have obviously paid off.
Can I add to that? Just the whole relationship side of it, that's really what makes remodel fun. Again, I do everything from new construction to remodels to furniture. Having a client involved is really fun. That's where you get that emotion. That's where you get those relationships. You get the lasting relationships. I've done numerous spec homes, and those are great, but they're just not as exciting. You have to kind of design for the masses, which is difficult because I always want it to be super interesting. And you can get something really interesting and really dynamic when you're working with a client and you've got their emotions involved and you're doing it truly custom to their homes.
That is really amazing. And, Steve brought up Nari, and we've got Jen here. Jen Schultz is with us. And it seems like Nari really brings those relationships together. I mean, and no pun intended with the two of you being married, but you created a really great relationship based on going to Nari, which helps you foster and build those relationships beyond there.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I think that is one of the single most important things about Nari, and it really benefits not only our professional members, but also residential clients that are out there looking for somebody. Because when you come and engage with a Nari member, you know that instantly there's a level of professionalism, you can trust them, and we hold each other to a higher standard. That's really our goal overall, is to elevate the industry, create a great product with a good experience for everybody involved. And so relationships are the key to that. It's knowing each other, knowing that you can pick up the phone, call on a fellow Nari member, and they're going to show up and they're going to do a good job. And you're going to see them after that as well. So, of course, they're going to want to do a good job because they will see you in the future.
So Jen, if I'm a consumer looking to remodel my home in Dallas or anywhere in North Texas now, I can go on the website narintx.org. So that's narintx.org. And I can look for remodelers by area, by specialty, different designations. Is that correct?
That's right. We have a directory online on our website that you gave, narintx.org, and it lists all our current members. It lists not only contractors, but specific trades if you're just looking for one very specific thing. And all of our members are saying that they stand behind their work and they stand behind the ethics that we expect them to uphold. And I'm sure that both Jennifer and Chris could speak to the value that Nari's had for them and how it's helped advance their career and deepen their education and knowledge of the industry.
I can speak to that as a little bit of an outsider, being an interior designer. I'm not a remodeler, but I can tell you that the bulk of my business is currently with Nari Remodeling Contractors. They don't hesitate to call me, refer business that maybe isn't a good fit for them. I get a ton of referral business from this network, so I think it is an amazing organization to be a part of.
And for me, it's more of a sounding board with other Nari members. Like if I've got an issue with the city or I've got an issue with a sub that I need to find a concrete guy, I will call the people that I know in Nari. And that's pretty much it. That's my referral base, is going to Nari and saying, hey, I got problems. And there are members that have been doing this a lot longer than I have. I know when I got started, everyone had been doing it longer than I had. And so it was great to be able to go to these meetings and get to know these people who could be a wealth of information as I got started.
So being a member of Nari, it's kind of like the contractors that choose to voluntarily join Nari are making an investment in their business and in their level of professionalism. So as a consumer, if I found a NARI contractor specifically, I would know that that's the kind of remodeler. They're not likely to be somebody that's just started, you know, and doesn't really care about their reputation. It's the ones that are serious about their business and in providing the level of customer service like that Jennifer and Chris provide to their clients that would be a NARI member.
Absolutely. It's definitely a group that holds each other to a higher standard and helps lift each other up and is always there. So I think when you hire a NARI member, you know you're getting the best and you're getting access to the support of the best.
And NARI North Texas is a part of the national network of NARI chapters.
That's right. We're a national organization, and we are part of that as a local chapter here that represents all of the North Texas area. So we expand all the way from Fort Worth and Dallas, then the counties that touch both Dallas and Tarrant County, and then the counties circling them. So we have a wide range of membership base that's able to support everybody that would be in the North Texas area.
Why would you choose NARI over just any other home builder, a NARI member?
I think, first of all, the thing that stands out to me is when you join NARI, you're saying, I want to be better. I want to be the best. But also, all of our members have gone through a vetting process. And so there's an application. We definitely want to be an inclusive group. We want to lift everybody up and give everybody opportunity. But we make sure that you are abiding by an ethical standard to provide the best service to your clients. We speak to your clients, make sure you have good references. We make sure that you have a firm business standing so that you don't wind up in a situation, hopefully, it is our goal anyway, that you avoid getting in a situation where somebody goes in, tears out your home, and doesn't have the financial stability to be able to put it back together, because that's not what we would want for anybody. So really what we've tried to do is go through and do some vetting to help support the homeowner and having a good experience with our members.
Well, I know that as somebody who has a house that is not finished, that it is so interesting to me to, one, find this out, and I know now what I should have done. Steve and Beverly have been a plethora of information, but what you guys are telling me is that you can keep people from falling in those pitfalls of like the money pit. You know, you go in and try to do your own construction.
Well, that's certainly our goal. And I think that part of it, too, is if we ever have somebody who gets into something and like Chris was talking about that they have an experience, they have a whole network to reach out to that will absolutely take that phone call and support them and walk them through it. I continue to be amazed on a regular basis how open and supportive our members are. There's definitely not a sense of negative competition. I don't want to say there's not competition because they are always challenging each other to be better and get to that next level. But they're so open with whatever the topic is. And I think, as Chris mentioned, getting people, other trades to work. So often people are like, no, I have this person and there's such a shortage. I want to keep them all to myself. And that's not what this group does at all. They willingly share that information, how they've encountered best business practices. They openly share all that information. So I am just amazed at how open and supportive everybody is to help everyone be better.
You make that process not scary. It's not a scary process when you go with a NARI professional.
That's always our goal. We want you to have a good experience because so often I've heard stories from some of our NARI members where they come in and help restore a client who's gone through a bad experience. And it gives the industry a bad reputation when somebody doesn't have a good experience and they're not held to those ethics. So as those of us that are in the industry, we want everybody to have a good, positive experience. We want you to come home and love where you are and it not be stressful, because even in the best of circumstances, going through a remodel can be difficult. But we want to do everything we can to make that a positive experience, because we know, you know, down the road, you may want to do it again. And so you want to come back, and we want to encourage you to do that and love the home you're in and just add to those memories that you've built there rather than moving on to somewhere else.
And let's segue into specifically what you're seeing in the market right now in North Texas, as far as what kind of projects are people doing? What's your mainstay in remodeling right now? What's changed in the past few years?
I would say that the projects are bigger than they've been. In the past, sometimes I say just a kitchen. There's no such thing as just a kitchen. But sometimes it's just a kitchen or a master bathroom or this part of the house. But right now, I feel like we're doing almost entire home remodels a lot more frequently. And with a lot more energy than before. I'm going to speak to the design side for a minute because out is the boring gray and white. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thankfully, people have finally embraced color and pattern and personality again and have a willingness to make it their own because people are realizing that it costs more to move and to move into something that they don't love than to stay where they are and reinvest in their homes.
Very good.
I see the show Love It or List It, and I watch that all the time. And I'm always amazed that there are people that they really just, you know, they've let go of their house. And I think to myself, I would remodel that. I would redo that. I'd bring in a designer and take that out. I'm always, I feel like I'm a little bit more savvy at that sometimes than the hosts are. But you guys really make that easy for people to take that remodeling and bring in that designer because that is one thing that is actually hard to find and that you have to going for both of you. It's hard for people to find a designer and then to find somebody that works really well with the remodeler and knows that fine line.
It's not hard to find us if you know where to look.
I was going to say, I might have to give you guys a call.
Well, it does take a special homeowner to want to remodel. Most people are, you know, I want it quick. I want it now. What's easy? What's quick? Buy a new house. Buy a new house for what you need. Well, right now the market is so tight with new homes that everyone is now saying, you know what? I can't find what I need. Maybe I need to do it to this house. But to me, it's a little deeper than that. You've got to know that that house is special to you, that it means something to you. I always use the analogy of classic cars, old cars. You wouldn't fix up a 1980 Buick Century. You just wouldn't do it. It's not worth it. You would fix up an old Corvette or something like that. And that's really the equal to somebody's house. You've got to love that house and not just the area, but that house in particular to really want to invest that kind of money in a house.
I know you guys are qualified to do a lot of restoration work in historical areas. Areas like Highland Park that have some of these historic homes. Speak to that and what kind of what makes, how do you judge the what's worth remodeling and kind of, I know it takes sometimes in that neighborhood in particular, some of the other neighbors get frustrated with people that come in and tear down a home that they would consider historic. Like how do you have that conversation with the client that this home deserves to be restored?
Well, there's only been one home that I've done that was a true quote unquote historic renovation. It was a client who was really, she wanted the period look and that was rare. And they were in a house that I swear we should have torn down. It was so bad. You could see daylight coming up through the foundation, but she was adamant about it. Most people aren't. Most people are more practical. We're not wasteful. We're not throwing away, priceless antiques, but for the most part, if it's old trim and it's been painted 50 times, it's cheaper to just put new trim on that looks similar. You can make the same profiles. And unless that trim is, it's a word I'm looking for, sentimental, put a new piece in. You know, there's a limit. And most people, like I said, I've done one historic remodel, and it was because that client, for some reason, wanted that house to look exactly like it looked in 1924, mm-hmm. and we did it. It's probably nicer than it was in 1924.
Probably had that wavy glass in the windows.
Yes, it had the float glass, and that is definitely something. So that's a good example. Float glass is about 10 to 20 times more expensive than flat glass.
Really?
Oh, God, it is absurdly expensive. We did a house on Worth Street, which is down by Swiss, mm-hmm. and one of our guys was throwing waste out of the second floor window in the dumpster, and a piece bounced out and hit one of those old float glass panes. So we had to go find float glass, which is, first of all, hard to find. Second of all, once you find it, it is extremely expensive. But it looks the same. It's made the same. I think they pour the glass out on molten lead or some kind of molten metal, mm-hmm. so that it flattens out, but it's not truly flat.
I don't know. Like, one thing that a lot of consumers don't know is that the more expensive the house that's older, the more likely it is to have lead paint, because that was actually premium paint. I know you guys are lead certified renovators. Speak to that a little bit.
We've, believe it or not, in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, we have not found any lead paint in any of the old homes. And it's a guarantee it's there. Pre-78, most paint was lead.
Yes.
It applied better. It worked better. And matter of fact, it's still legal. The Navy uses it on their ships.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of children on ships, so. but no, lead paint is better than normal paint. It's just, it's deadly. So, yeah, we haven't found too many times when we tested homes that there's actually lead paint in there. Thank God, because if we did, it's a lot of work to work safely in there.
Now, as a remodeler, do you have to be lead certified, or is it a voluntary thing? Or
pretty much have. If you're going to disturb more than 3 mm-hmm. square foot of a house, it is a federal law. You need to be certified.
Well, that's very interesting talking about that. And I started thinking, you know, both Jen and Jennifer are on the board of NARI, and you were formerly on the board of NARI, Chris. Is that correct?
That's right. Long time ago.
Long time ago. You said, what, 2001, 2003, something like that?
I started the company in 2002. I think I joined NARI within that year or the next year, but I think I was a board member from 2003 to 2006.
Well, how does the board steer what's going on these days without the direction that you take and how you support the association, the people that are part of the association, and the consumer?
I think what's important is that our board is made up of members who are active in the industry. So they're always staying on what is current. What do we need to address? How do we need to be growing? What are the emerging needs? We saw a lot of that in particular this past February when we had unprecedented freezes and everybody came together and said, okay, this is, you know, not something that we've really experienced as much in the past, but how do we come together? How do we provide information? How do we support one another? So our board really looks at what can we do in the future to grow? How can we better support the industry, homeowners, and professionals? And looks at different education opportunities, different programs that can support the trends that we're seeing come about.
Chris, I'll direct this question to you. Besides introducing you to your wife, Jennifer, how has NARI helped you?
Well, like I said, I've started the company. I had 10 years of commercial experience before I started the company, but residential is a little bit different. So the first thing that I asked one of my contractors was, what do I need to do? And the very first thing he said was join NARI. He was a NARI member, and he still is a NARI member. I think it's Scott Roofing, still with him. Anyway, so I joined and learned as much as I could. I became a sponge to try to get as much information as I could and to try to figure out how to improve my business and how to get through everything. And NARI did that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know when we first started our publication, you know, over 20 years ago, the first thing we did was join the NARI and the Builder Association. And at that time, I think NARI had 4th chapter and a Dallas chapter at the time, and they'd merged together. I knew that was the first thing we had to do, even though most people don't realize that you don't have to be a member of the Builder Association to be a builder, and you don't have to be a member of the, you know, remodeler and the NARI to be a remodeler. But we believe that, you know, the best builders and the best remodelers do belong to their local associations. But that's kind of why we created the publication, because we realized that about half the builders and half the remodelers or more, like, don't belong to the associations. So we use our publication as a way to kind of, like, educate the ones that are non-members as well. So the associations do a great job of educating their own members, but we feel that they should also have at least the basic knowledge of codes and, you know, different laws and legislation that's affecting their industry. And then when we get a chance to in person, encourage them to join. So, but having said that, you know, you sign up members, new builders or new remodelers into the association, and then, you know, you might add 100 and then you lose 90. It's like, it's very hard to maintain the retention in the industry. So I think that's really important that we stay vigilant and, you know, keep recruiting people and letting them know about the associations.
So thank you actually for bringing up the topic of retention. That has been something that we have really made a focus for us this year, because it's really important that we have consistency and you can see the same people over and over again. And so I'm really excited to say that we have increased our retention rate to about 95% this year. And what that tells me is that people truly are seeing value in what we're doing. our members want to come back. They want to participate. And so that to me is validation for everything we do. And I think one of the other things that we've been looking at doing is making sure that we represent the broad range of everybody that works in this industry. So whether you're a builder, remodeler like Chris, or you're doing interior design like Jennifer, and also we have a wide cross-section of both men and women. We represent a large range of ages. I think, Chris, you talked about how you joined right when you started, and now I won't give away how long you've done it, but now I'd say you're a more seasoned professional. So we kind of want to make sure that we have a place for everybody. And no matter what point you are in your career or whether your background, we want to make sure that you're welcome at NARI. And I think, you know, Jennifer, you're on the board. You can speak to what encouraged you to join the board.
I was asked point blank by contractors to join the board. They were specifically looking to diversify their board and to not only bring in a female presence, but bring in somebody that was not a remodeler. I also had other board experience from National Kitchen and Bath Association as well as ASID. And so they're looking for somebody that can bring those elements to the table and look at everything just from a little different perspective than how it's been looked at in years past.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, Jennifer talked about her background and how that was a part of why we want her to be on our board. And I think that feeds into the overall goal of our organization, which is to always be improving and always better ourselves and help elevate our members.
And attracting the next generation of people to the industry as well. So what would your advice be to somebody that's looking, maybe, you know, they're going into interior design or construction, like what would your advice be to getting started in a career in this industry?
Join NARI. You'll meet the best.
Yes.
So my advice is to step in. Every one of us starts somewhere, and most of us don't exactly know how to do it by ourselves. So joining these organizations connects you with like-minded people, people who care about you, people who want to see you grow, because it only helps the industry. So step in, volunteer, get involved, come to the meetings, network. I mean, your business will grow significantly just by the connections that you make.
I know when I was brand new, just coming into it, joining the association, coming from another, state or another country for that matter, came from Canada, and, people see that you get interested in their organization. They see you volunteer. They see you get on committees. They see you sign members. And then all of a sudden you've built that, trust that, you're not there to just sell some advertising or something. You're there to actually be part of the industry and give back, So I think that's been like the whole key to our whole success. We've been done very well for the last quarter of a century and want to keep going.
Well, and I think we talk about, improving and being very focused on the professional aspect. But I always like to remind people we have a lot of fun doing it, too. And so I don't want anybody to think that this is all business all the time. We know how to have a good time while we get work done.
I would say it's got to be one of the funnest things, especially doing what you do, Jennifer. Designing is such I enjoy that, just watching that. But you also, what you do is so specialized that not everybody can do it. I do have a question for you, though. What are some of the design trends that you're seeing coming up this year or into next year, 2022?
Lots of color, lots of texture, lots of pattern, curved corners on things again. Everything's not square and white and gray and boring. If you would like to go see some of the current trends, the Kips Bay Show House is happening in Dallas right now, and a lot of the designers that were selected for the show house have partnered with NARI contractors to implement their work. So you can go and see the amazing amount of detail that has been put in each one of these rooms. And it's a lot more energetic than design in general has been over the past 10 years.
And that home is located in the old Preston Hollow neighborhood. It's on Desco, is that correct?
Deloche.
It's on Deloche. So you can Google Kips Bay Designer Home, Dallas.
I need to look it up.
We will make that available to you at the end of the podcast. While you were talking about that, I like to go to design houses and tell me if this is wrong. I'm going to say this: NARI Home Show. That's not.
We don't do a home show anymore.
Okay, So what do you do in lieu of that? Like, is it a virtual thing where people can see more virtual stuff?
We don't. But if you want to talk about that, one of the things that we do is each year we have a Contractor of the Year Awards program where all the contractors are able to submit projects and include partner members that are trades. And then you can view all of those projects online. We have a variety of categories, everything from a specific bathroom or featured element all the way to a whole home interior or even a whole home, including the exterior. One of the things we're seeing this year, too, is a big trend as people have spent more time at home is outdoor living space. We have entries for that. And so it's a really great opportunity. I always like to say, you know, it's the best of the best coming together and entering their work to showcase what they've done and include their different partners that supported them in that project. And that's something that you can view on our website after the announcements each year. You can see that. So right now we have last year's, and I know all my members have been working really hard to get all their entries in for the current year, and we will be announcing this year's Contractor of the Year Awards on November 11th at our Evening of Excellence.
And I know a number of those also go on to be entered in regional and even national Contractor of the Year Awards, and there's always a nice group from North Texas that win those national awards, and of course a lot winning regional awards as well.
I may be biased, but I feel like North Texas has some of the most cutting edge designs and builders and designers coming out. Again, like I said, I may be biased, but I do see that we sometimes lead the trends coming out from here.
I would agree. And I've gotten a sneak peek at some of the entries. So I'm really excited about what's coming out this year. Definitely things you're going to want to see. And we are so lucky to have so many innovative and creative members.
Yeah, so keep checking that NARENTX.org to see all their beautiful pictures posted of the recent projects that won. And that'll give you a really good idea of things that are happening and changing in the industry.
Well, and Jen, perhaps you'll bring that Contractor of the Year back to our show, and Stephen Beverly could talk to them about some of those cool and innovative designs.
And Billy Savvy Magazine also does a review of the winners each year, and you can go to BillySavvy.com and see them there as well.
When we're talking about all of this, of course, it will be a part of the Savvy List. That is one of the most important things that this show is about, is imparting that information, and there's so many great things that we're talking about today. Well, we want to thank you again for coming in. This has been another really special episode of the Building Savvy Bottom Line. On our next Building Savvy Bottom Line podcast, we will feature Mannerly Concierge Home Management, a company that offers a membership-based program to help people maintain their homes. Mannerly's white glove approach is designed to take the stress out of home ownership. It's kind of like having a part-time house manager available to help you with anything and everything related to your home.
Broken chain links, clotheslines sagging, incinerators stink, brothers selling bags. Gotta keep watching what's coming up behind. Don't look at the ground, 'cause when they're done with you, you won't be fine.